Well, welcome everyone. Oh, let's try that again. I got one hello. Good morning. Welcome everyone.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you're glad that I'm here. All righty. Let me get my Bible app opened up here. Nope, I don't want my morning devotional. Let's get back to my Bible. So we are in Jeremiah today, and I feel like the Lord wants to really encourage us. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1. Everybody who likes to follow along, I'll give you a minute to get there. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, set you apart, made you holy. And I have appointed you. That word appointed is very interesting. It means I have decided to give you a certain position of ministry in my kingdom, and I'm committed to help you achieve that. In this case, with Jeremiah, it was the office of a prophet. So God has four things this morning that He wants you and I to more fully understand and experience. You know, it's one thing to understand the biblical truth. It's another thing to experience it and walk in it. So I feel like the Lord wants to not only give us truth today, but He wants us to apply them. So those four things for today. God formed you and I. God knew us completely. God wanted you and I. And God has a plan. A destiny that He wants to help you fulfill. Okay, I'll read those again. Thank you for that, amen. God formed you and I. God knew us completely. God wanted you and I. And God has a plan, a destiny that He wants to help you fulfill. Not just those of us that have an office of like pastor, prophet, each single one of you. Okay, you ready to look at those four with me? Okay, I heard two or three. Come on, I'm inviting participation and feedback here. Okay, number one, He formed us. That means we are just not a random mix of chromosomes. He decided when. He decided, and the kids aren't here, but I don't know that they know what I was talking about anyway, but He decided what egg and what sperm. He picked our features. He picked our intelligence. He picked our personality. He formed you. He formed you. And some of us need to hear this today. Your parents might have said, you know, you were a surprise. Or they might have even said, you know, you were an accident. But God wants you to know today that no, He chose. He decided. He formed you in the womb. You were not a surprise. You were not an accident. And He wants you to grab hold of that truth today. Psalm 139. You, Lord, made all the inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Come on now. Some of you need to get that today. Your workmanship is marvelous. You watched me as I was being formed every day. Of my life was recorded in your book. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? When he thinks about you, he smiles and he sees you as wonderful. He formed you with intent and purpose, so you can proclaim that you are his marvelously and miraculously crafted creation. Come on. I am, you know, and I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor Steve, of course we know you are. And then my wife would be here and she'd laugh, but you are his wonderfully and marvelously crafted creation. So number one, he formed you. Number two, he knew you. So after being married for 39 years, I know my wife. Now, she was helping in the nursery, and now she's helping in Sunday school, so she's not here. But I know her pretty well. I know some of her likes. She likes, and it's three C's, so it's really easy for me. See, God has to make it easy for me. Chocolate, coffee, and coconut. So those are three of her favorite. And if she can have them all together, that's even better yet. Right? Amen. I know some of her dislikes. I know her personality pretty well. I can pretty often read her and have a good idea of what's going on. I know what she thinks about many things, but I don't know what she thinks about everything. I know some of her heart, but I don't know all of her heart. But Father God knows every thought. He knows everything within her heart. Now, for some of us, that's really comforting. Yay. But I've had times in my life where I was like, oh, if he knows everything, then he knows that. And we finish that sentence. That I had that thought, or that there's pride in my heart or selfishness in my heart. He knows it all. He knows everything. And you know what's awesome? Knowing everything about, maybe I should go this way, everything about me, and everything I think, and everything that's in my heart that he's still working on, he still loves me. The worship team did a great job setting me up this morning. You know, they pick their songs 3 weeks ahead and give them to the worship director, and then they practice them a week or two ahead of time. They had no idea. 3 weeks ago, I didn't know I was sharing this today. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Just let that settle over you a minute. Jesus said, as my Father in heaven loves me, now how much does Father God love Jesus? So I love you. Come on. Did that sink in a little bit? In Jeremiah 31, Father God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Does that mean that love comes and goes? And if I do something wrong or say something wrong, that fades away? I don't think that's what everlasting means. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you to myself with loving kindness. How many times this morning have we already heard that? He draws us. He seeks us. He comes after us. He purposely finds us. Right where we are. I have drawn you to myself with loving kindness. And I love Romans 5:8. I know some of you can probably quote that. Jack probably could. Because Jack loves Romans. But God demonstrated his great, come on, how big of an adjective is great? Great love for us in that while, come on, we were yet sinners. So before we were even saved, he demonstrated his great love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. Now, does that mean every person out there who's still in sin, he loves them that much? That's absolutely what that means. Right, Karen? I see you smiling back there, lady. I was reminded of the little song. because I still sing it with my grandkids when they're crying and I'm trying to get them to take their bottle and go to sleep. And I have nine now. Nine. Now, only a few of them are bottle age. But Jesus loves me. This I know. Not this I think, this I wonder about, this I question. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. We just looked at three verses. Just three. We should be pretty convinced with just those three. But you could get 8, 10, 16, 20. Okay. Some of you still don't look convinced. It's like, well, I think he loves me. Come on now. I'm telling you. Jesus loves me. Do we have to sing it? This I know, for the Bible tells. Okay, see? I want you to leave with that thought. Number one, he formed you. Number two, he knew you. Number three, he set us apart for himself. He set us apart for himself. He wanted you and I to be saved. He wanted to adopt us into his family. He wanted to have a daily, lifelong, eternal relationship with us. Now, some people say, well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm saved. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll talk to God when I get there. Well, what about living with him every day? Talking to him every day? Having him be part of your life every day? Yes, I'm thrilled I know where I'm going when I pass on. But how about now? He set you apart for himself now, not just then. Romans 8 again. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. See, that's our goal, isn't it? So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Did you catch that? See, I have to make myself pause because I'm a rapid reader. So I can read a whole chapter in just a short amount of time. But I have to pause at each word sometimes. He made Jesus the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. That means we're Jesus' brothers and sisters. We're part of the family of God. Nobody's excited about that. Okay, I heard a couple. See, I said you could say stuff during the message. Okay. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them, see, I even read fast. Right standing, he gave them his glory. I want to read that one more time. I think that one needs to sink in. So I'm going to make myself slow down. For God knew his people in advance. And he chose them, picked. Okay, he called your name. He chose them to become like his son. So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He put some of his glory on his children. Romans 8. And that's from the New Living. So we've had some things happen in our lives as Christians. We've changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We've changed destinations. We now have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus went ahead of us to prepare a place. So we now know our destination. But we've also changed families. We're now part of the family of God. Again from Romans 8. My message is from Jeremiah 1, but I'm sure I'm referring to Romans 8 a lot. You received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Come on. Now think about that. If you went to an adoption agency, you choose someone and you make them part of your family. He chose you, adopted you, and made you part of His family. Now we call Him Father, dear Father. From Ephesians 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following Jesus' example. What example? We're to love and follow Jesus' example, who loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. As a sacrifice for us. So love involves sacrifice, doesn't it? It involves giving up some of the things that you want for others' benefit. God formed you. God knew you. God called you and drew you unto Himself. And finally, God has a ministry, a destiny for you and I to fulfill. It's important that you know that. Not only were you not an accident, but you're just not living aimlessly. God has a plan, a destiny for you to fulfill. Now, it's interesting in theology, and I try not to get way off in theology in my messages, but there's like God's ultimate will, God's unbendable will, God's permissive will, and I don't want to get too far off on that, but a quick way of explaining that is, let's say God wants me to live somewhere in central Pennsylvania. Well, does He want me to live specifically in Newville? Does He want me to specifically live in the house that I'm in right now? So, without getting off on that whole idea, what I found is the more specific questions I ask Him, the more specific answers I get. Now, I'm going somewhere. Just follow along with me. So, let's say you're living in Carlisle and you want to end up in Chambersburg. There are all kinds... We have some people here from Shippensburg today, so don't get too far out on me. Okay. Think about all the different ways you can get there. The quickest, most direct route is to come down the Rittner. And you just end up there. If you want to go the fastest route, you get on 81 and you go 70. Or yesterday I was on 81 and saw people going 75, 80. Weaving in and out of traffic. Okay, well, I don't really think you have to get there in that much of a hurry. But if you want to get there faster, you go 81. Let's say you make a wrong turn and you end up on the Walnut Bottom Road. You can still eventually get there. You could even be a little further off and come down the Newville Road. And then you have to figure out how to get from the Newville Road to Shippensburg. Then get back on 11 and get to Chambersburg. But my point is, if God has a destination for us, He wants us to eventually make it to wherever. Whatever that ministry is that He wants us to be doing. However He wants us to serve Him. If we make a wrong turn, isn't He big enough to still get us there? I've had people say to me, well, I think I made the choice wrong back there, and I got off on the Newville exit, and I shouldn't have. God's bigger than that. He can still get you. We need to be confident and secure that God has a plan. A good plan for our lives. He has a place of ministry for us, a way for us to represent Him to others. People we work with, people we shop with, people we live near, people we go to school with. He has a specific way that only you can bring His kingdom. Frank doesn't bring His kingdom the way I do. Cheryl doesn't bring His kingdom the way I do. We each, as we represent Him, do it in a different fashion. So then one of the big questions for this morning is, Do you know what that destination is? Now, I've had times in my Christian life where God only told me what the very next step was. And that was enough. You know, you have this job you love and you're getting advancements and positions, and God says, go to Bible school. Okay, that was a big enough step. I don't know that I wanted to know, and my plan never was to be a senior pastor. And Stacy will tell you, when we got married, I never volunteered to marry a pastor. So we just take the next step. But if we don't take the next step, it's even harder for God to get us back to where He wants us to go. Make sense? So just ask as specific as you can. What do you want me to be doing this week, this month? I heard a good one. I'm sorry. I'm not a joke teller, but I did have to chuckle at this. We're all going to make a New Year's resolution. Let's never again talk about 2020. I thought that was a good one. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, what do you want for next year for me to do, for me to represent you, for me to go? And then once you find out that next step, you're just responsible for pursuing that next step. See, if He would have told me back when I was going to Bible school that I was going to end up being a senior pastor, I might have thought twice about it because I wasn't ready back then. So He has a plan. He has a destination. You just have to take each step. Just ask Him what He wants you to be doing now. Okay. Back to Jeremiah. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. So, one of the things that we tend to do when God tells us how He wants us to represent Him, what area of ministry He wants us to do, we come up with our buts. But God, I'm too young. I'm too old. Okay, you can't use somebody over 70, somebody over 80. Really? Or like Moses, I don't speak eloquently. Or God, I'm not educated enough. Or I'm not brave enough to talk to strangers. And I'm certainly not courageous enough to go with Pastor Kurt and walk the streets of Harrisburg. See, we make those excuses, don't we? Is God bigger than your and my excuses, or isn't He? He is? Really? He is. I heard three people say that. I appreciate those three. Is He more powerful than our weaknesses or not? Thank you. Now, I want you to remind yourself of that this week. When you say, God, I'm not strong enough, brave enough, tall enough, loud enough, whatever enough you aren't, He's powerful enough to make up the difference. Just think of some of the people that He used. Come on, that's what amazes me. Like, if I was writing the Bible, I wouldn't write all their faults. I would just tell you all their good things. Why would I tell you their faults? Well, that's because you know that God made up the difference. He used fishermen as His disciples. Uneducated tradespeople. They had a skill, but they weren't educated in many of the things that you would think that Jesus would want them educated in. Tax collectors. We've talked about that before. I have a feeling some of the other disciples weren't too thrilled about Jesus' decisions. Really? Him? Shepherds. How about Gideon? What was he doing? He was hiding in the wine press with the wheat. He wasn't in the wine press pressing grapes. He was hiding in there with the wheat. And what does God use him for? To defeat the enemy. If I was looking for someone to defeat the enemy, I wouldn't look for someone hiding in a wine press. But what did God know? God knew his heart. God knew his potential. God knew what he could become. And Moses stuttered. Would you want to go before Pharaoh, the ruler of a nation, and stutter? And Jeremiah. God just told him that I want you to speak to rulers and nations. And he was just a youth. I could say to our youth, how about if God gave you a message to the president? You going to get on the phone and call him and say, hey, I have a message. Can I come over today? He might. But I was just wondering how brave they would be. If we make ourselves available to him, if we pursue his plans and destiny for our lives, he can do, come on, listen to the word, great things through us. Through us. He can use us. Okay, if you can't say amen for yourself, say amen for the person beside you in front of you. He can do great things through you and I. And through us, he can change our community. We just did a back-to-school bash. 5 churches got together. We had a couple hundred people from Newville there. They know that it was the local churches that loved on them, that helped them get their kids' backpacks, that help them get their kids' school supplies. Because this year, the schools aren't providing supplies. They don't have any way to keep them sanitized. Each kid's responsible for showing up with his own list of supplies. And so we were there to say, hey, we want to help with that. We had coats and jackets for this winter and other things. We can change our communities, which will change our regions, which will change our state, which will change our nation. Do you believe God's big enough to do that? So I want to end with a short scriptural story, but then I want to give us a chance to apply this. And so I'll explain how we're going to do that. So maybe you remember in Acts. Okay, so catch your mind up with me because we were in the Old Testament in Acts. I'm sorry, Old Testament Jeremiah. And now we're in the New Testament in Acts. After Jesus' death and resurrection, after the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and Peter and John were on their way to church, on their way to the synagogue. And they passed a man who had been lame, and he was sitting at the gate. Okay, if you wanted help, you sat at the gate. That's what you did. And as people came in and out, you were there. So think about every day he's sitting there with his basket, hoping somebody's going to throw a few coins in. He had no way of earning money. He was lame. He apparently didn't have family that could help him. And Peter and John come up there and they stop. Boy, I wonder how much money they have. And Peter and John say to him, we don't have any money. Well, that'd be disappointing. But what we do have, okay, that's what I want you to catch. But what we do have, what did they have? They have what Jesus gave them. Now, here's the question. You're listening up? Do you have what Jesus gave? Yes, Mike? Did he give us the same thing? His disciples now and his disciples then? He did. Same power. Absolutely. So they said, what we do have, we give. Scripture tells us, freely you've received, freely give. Reached down, grabbed him, said, in the name of Jesus, walk. Did he? And did it only affect him? Let's read. Let's remind ourselves. We are in chapter 3, verse 7. 3:7. Acts 3:7. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. The man, he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then he didn't just walk. Listen. Walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people. Okay? If you've ever been in a third world country, you don't stay in your house and play video games and watch TV. If there's something happening, you're out. Most of them, the weather's warm enough, they have no windows. Many of them don't have doors, they just have bars and gates. You hear what's going on. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. See, when we're following God's plans and doing what he's called us to do, and we're representing him some way in ministry and service, other people are affected as well. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astonished. Do you want people to be absolutely astonished with Jesus in your life? They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's porch where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw this opportunity and he addressed the crowd. First we had a group of people, now we have a crowd. I think his charge to us today is go and do likewise. Are you willing to accept that charge? What if you go somewhere and God says, see that lame person? Go over and offer to pray for him. That'd be interesting this week, wouldn't it? And we have, you guys told me, and the scripture affirms it, we have the same power, gifts that Peter and John had, because it's Jesus, it's not us, it's Jesus through us. And when we pray, it says he was instantly healed. God formed you. God knew you. God wanted you. And God has a plan for you. Be encouraged. God formed you. God knew you. God wanted you. And God has a plan for you.